Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we've got Lynette Carolla in the studio. She's host of the hilarious and popular podcast For Crying Out Loud. She's a wife and mother of two, and her podcast covers a lot of these issues in a very light, informal way. Today, we're talking about how to keep sex alive in a long-term relationship, marriage, sex tips, and so much more, and reading some of your emails. So thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Okay, guys, you know I love sex toys, and I also like jewelry. Probably like most women, you know, and I've been obsessed with my gorgeous vibrator necklace. It's the Vesper by Crave. You've heard me talking about it for probably a few months now, and it's really funny because I wear it every day because I just actually, I forget sometimes it's a vibrator because I just like it right, man. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's like a sleek piece of jewelry.
Yeah, it looks like one of those pens, like a silver pen. That necklace that people would wear.
Yeah, it's a good layering piece. Mm-hmm. It's long. And I gave it to my girlfriend who's a stylist, like to the stars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like Miss LA, goes to all the clubs every night. And doesn't have the best memory ever because she texts me every week night and goes, what's the name of it again? All my 15 girls want it. It's then before anyone even knows what it is, it's cool looking and it happens to be a vibrator. And I get compliments, like I said, all the time before people know. And it comes in silver, gold, rose gold. It's slender. It looks like a pen and a long chain. And I wish I could gift them to all of you. I actually want to give everyone I know one because it's so freaking cool. And but honestly, you should get some for any special woman in your life or buy it for yourself because it's that awesome. And it's a perfect gift. It's like jewelry and orgasms. Can you tell me? I know you think Louis Vuitton bags, but jewelry and orgasms.
No, YSL bags now. I'm off Louis.
Okay, YSL. It's all about YSL. You're right. So find one woman on the planet who would turn down this necklace. You would not. It's rechargeable on any USB port, which is like one of my favorite parts of it after the orgasms. Yeah. Oh, and my friend, the stylist I gave it to, she went home and masturbated with it. She's like, I had six orgasms. Like, it's strong. Uh-huh. It's a real full-on vibrator. You know, TMI, but people tell me everything. And the charge lasts forever. I've had mine for 5 months. I've charged it once for 10 minutes. So check it out. It's elegant, it's stylish, it's orgasms. Go to lovecrave.com and check it.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
To Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list, and do all that fun stuff. And we're so happy to hear you. And I just want to thank everyone for listening. You know, I'm just being very heartfelt lately, Menace, because we are coming up on our 10th year.
Wow, 10 years together.
And I just feel like I've been just doing a lot of thinking about that and how grateful I am that I have listeners and that I that people like the show and that it's continued and we can make a living.
How do I put up with you for 10 years? I do not know.
I can't decide if you like me more or less. I think we're just like brother and sister. But
I know. So I want to shout out. I got somebody on Twitter. I think his name's Jer on Twitter.
Okay.
He says that he loves me on the show. So thank you for tweeting me and saying that you love me on the show.
Thank you for loving Menace on the show.
And he called you M, which that's what I keep you in my phone as, M.
So you do?
Anybody ever wants you, wants your phone number and they find my phone, you're under M.
Okay, good to know. my friends call me M.
Yeah.
You've always had me as M? Like, aren't you have other M's?
Yeah, just M. That's it.
Oh, okay. I feel like that's a term of endearment. That's what my friends call me M.
Yeah.
And so you're all my buddies. So when you email me, you can be like, Dear M. People do that sometimes. It makes me feel good and warm and fuzzy. So it's great to see you. And I want to tell you, Menace, today's show, I'm really excited. We have a great guest. Lynette Carolla is here. And the husband of Adam Carolla. People have heard of
I don't
Adam
think Carolla. She's the husband.
Husband, wife.
I think she's the wife.
She's the wife, actually. She's beautiful. She just walked in. Okay, but I want to tell you, Menace, that I'm glad we're here because I had two near-death experiences in 1 week.
What? What happened?
Dude. Well, first, I walked on fire.
Where?
I was in Las Vegas. You were probably in Las Vegas. I was in New York. I went to a Tony Robbins seminar. Do you know Tony Robbins?
Yes.
Okay. I've always wanted to go because I have a lot of friends who've been very successful in business and like the minute before they went on to make like $1 million and be successful. And I saw them change a lot by what, and I know people be like, motivation. It really moved me. It was 4 days, 12 hours a day. But the first night you walk across hot coals.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. And you put it like, he puts you in this. I mean, his whole thing is about not just like positive mindset or motivation. It's about changing your state and how if we change the way, like our body has so much, our emotions create our emotions. And it was just all this stuff. So we trained like to go on fire and to walk like you say this thing and you like stand up straight and you breathe. We did a meditation. I walked across fire.
Wow.
And it was really cool.
You got it on tape somewhere.
I know, but it was dark. And cold and snowy. It was like, it was 7,000 people in the conference.
Wow.
But I was like the first 10 rows. So it was pretty cool.
No way.
Yeah, I walked on fire.
That's amazing.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I know. I was telling Drew, he's like, Dr. Drew's like, you did what? That's crazy. Cause he's like, loves doubt everything that I do. I'm like, no, it was a life changing, life altering because before you walked on the fire, you had to give up something. Like you had to find something that you want to work on. It was like really deep, intensive, like emotional self-help stuff. Mm. And it's like, you know, what do you want to give up in your life? What do you want to change? What's something you've been struggling with?
And you picked something easy, like not getting married or something like that, right?
No. Ironically, Menace, thank you for saying that, is that it's funny because it was one of these things where I usually hate this, like turn to the person next to you and tell them what you're saying. I'm like, I don't want to know you. But this woman next to me was like a life coach too. I'm not a life coach, but she was like self-help and she totally got my jam. And she was like, and I said something like, I don't remember what it was. I'm like, well, I kind of feel like I can't really commit and I don't remember what, it wasn't strong enough. She goes, and then she kept pushing me. She goes, I don't believe you. I don't believe that thing. And then all of a sudden I thought, you know, I have a really hard time being vulnerable and we all know this, but I was like, cause we were going to release something when you walked across the fire. So I released the fact that I'm never vulnerable and I'm going to learn to be more vulnerable. So I might start crying.
On the show today?
No, I'm kidding.
Hopefully
but not.
Not
in the show. I'm not feeling it right now. But but I'm saying that's, and it just inspired me.
Well, I've made you cry. So before the show started, I'm going to give a little insight. Before the show started, Emily said, "Oh, I listened to a podcast that we did in 2011, and we were much more funnier then." And I think they were more funnier then because I would make fun of you, but then you would cry and say that I was
mean. Dude, I never cried. It was only when we had guests or we were shooting our Bravo show. And Menace was like, Bravo's here. I'm going to really trash you. And it was like things you never said to me. And it was rude. And I never cried.
No, you always called me out on that, saying that I played
dude,
it up
whenever
for the cameras.
There was, you did play it up for the cameras, which worked because they loved you and put you in every friggin' episode because he trashed me. So they're like, oh, it's reality TV.
Well,
we need some drama.
That's what they want. But I did that on and off camera.
I'm not saying you were funnier and better. Actually, you heard the wrong. I said it was interesting because, okay, we've got 2,500 podcasts, and that's a lot. And there's a lot of them that aren't on iTunes. You can go now. There's 200 and something, but they give you a limit, as they should. Mm-hmm. And so people can download them. But I thought, God, some of these are really – we used to do 5 days a week, an hour a day. And 2011, they were pretty awesome. And I was just laughing, and it wasn't so much that they were funnier. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that. I just said it was – we were both at different times in our life. And it was, I was single, you were, I mean, I'm always single, but you were single. Yeah. We were like doing more social things. And I don't know.
But
anyway, check out those throwbacks because I'm releasing them now and they're funny. And they're like, I don't know, they're interesting. I don't think we're more adult.
I guess.
Kind
of.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm adult. Yeah, but
me neither. But we have a guest.
We do have a guest. Lynette Carolla is here. We already talked about you.
Can I just say, thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
So nice to see you.
You too.
I'm so happy to be here. But can I just say, Menace, you are cannot be further from a menace.
Oh.
I listen to the show.
She loves mommy.
No, but I'm a huge fan. Okay. I listen to the show all the time. Should I put the headphones on?
Sure.
Yeah, if you want.
Podcast one, I've never been here. It's amazing.
Right.
Okay.
Wow, these things are squeezing.
I know, you can
do it. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We can get you other ones if you want.
No, these are fine. I just didn't know what to expect. And Menace does not.
Well, how did you picture him?
I pictured him that age. You seem young. You look young.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
not as young as he used to be.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No,
but more like.
Not with, skinny.
Like tattoos or something.
Oh.
Oh, menacing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because the name. Right.
Yeah.
No, that's Menace. He's like kind of a geek.
How did you two meet, by the way?
We
were just talking. This is funny.
Okay, do you want me to explain it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, I don't know if you know this, but there's this guy named Adam Carolla, right?
Never heard. Who?
So we worked for this company called CBS, and they launched a bunch of radio stations called Free FM, and there are talk stations.
Right.
And
in 2006.
In 2006. And I was working on the station. And Emily was doing a podcast that was very popular on iTunes. And the bosses there were like, we should put this girl on air, even though she has zero broadcast experience.
Never been in a radio station in my life.
So but you were podcasting.
I know.
She was podcasting.
Same 2006. Thing.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
But,
there's
FCC different regulations.
Okay. Right.
Like, you can't say masturbation every 5 minutes.
True.
You can't say cock. You know, things
like
that.
Yeah, that's like
true.
Jerking off and all that
kind
of stuff.
Right, right, right.
And so they're like, hey, you know, can you look after... You know, this woman
he
that wants
the
to
board,
do,
man.
Yeah, the word to board and make sure, you know, she doesn't get the license taken away. And then, which I would have a heart attack every 5 seconds and have to dump her out when she would say, I can't say blowjob on the air.
I would say it on the air.
She would say it on the air. Why are you dumping me? I can't say blowjob. So she would say it twice. I would
makes your life miserable.
Yeah.
That was just the first month or two.
First,
anyway, so that's how we met
like
FM. It was really cool because
that's
I started
sweet.
The podcast. I know, 2006, and he was like a young lad. He was like sleeping at the station because he was like living in his car. And that was right after you were living in your car.
Yeah,
and Menace is like uber successful now. Like, I'm amazing to see how much he's grown.
No, I was doing a morning show before that, and I thought it would last forever.
What morning show?
It was called the Doghouse Morning Show in San Francisco.
Okay.
Oh, but Adam was on. Free FM.
Free FM.
The morning show every day.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was syndicated in every city.
Right.
I was just in San Francisco Saturday nights 11 to 2.
So,
okay.
So what happened was I thought, you know, I was a young kid. I thought morning shows last forever, which they don't. And I got fired, and then I didn't save any of my money. And I got that job at CBS where I was working part-time making no money. So I would, like, sleep at the
I'm just saying because I'm impressed by how he's the hardest worker I know. Anyway, that's how we met.
Okay.
And we didn't talk the first few years. Because we just did the radio, and then we became friends, and then...
It's been 8 years that you two have been together.
I know.
You guys are very...
Yeah.
You make a very nice couple.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know who this Adam guy you guys keep referring to. You guys... I'm so excited.
I'm so glad that you've... And I've been on your show for Crying Out Loud. We talked about your podcast, which people can find at adamcarolla.com. Is that where you send them?
Yeah, you just go to adamcarolla.com, and you look at the other shows, and it's up there. Just click on For Crying Out Loud.
Okay, got it.
Cool. Yeah. So what's it all about?
Everything. Well, my co-host is Stephanie Wilder Taylor. She was sort of the first mommy blogger that was like drinking and getting drunk at like nap time. And one of her first book was, best-selling book was, Sippy Cups Are Not for Chardonnay. And she's just a funny, you know, author, writes books. She has a new book coming out, Gummy Bear or something. She's going to kill me. Oh, my God. But she's great. And we got together. And Adam, you know, was doing his shows. And we were just sort of building a network. And so we talk about, you know, most of the time. I mean, not most of the time. But we try to keep it like family.
Except for
family
when I came
issues.
On.
Except for when.
Yeah.
That's part of it, though. We talk about relationships and marriages and you know, we talk about everything, you know, kids and other people's marriages and relationships.
But you're so really open too, and it's very, very like relaxed and gives, you know, good advice and talk about your, share your experiences where I think we all learn from each other.
So. Right. Yeah.
So it's a good time.
Yeah.
And so I was on her show actually.
Oh, that's
on that
cool.
show. And we had fun.
And you filtered, you made it filthy.
I did make it filthy.
Yeah, yeah, our
we
show
talk about G-spots. Yeah,
yeah. We go, you know, we go filthy sometimes. But yeah, no, I wanted Emily on our show because she's done. She's with Loveline, you know, mm-hmm. with Drew, and I just thought she was, you know, he moved out here from San Francisco, and it's just like just. She's just a, you know, interesting person. I just like talking
Thank
about
you. I know.
Well, I also like talking about sex, too.
I know. Good. Well, that's why you're here. Well,
listen, for a I mean, 20 years with the same person.
I know. Okay. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about
that. Should we just get into it?
Yeah.
20 years.
20 years. That's about 20 years coming on in December.
Okay. And, well, yeah.
Yeah. So we broke up, I mean, for about almost a year.
And okay.
My heart was broken.
Before you got married?
We got engaged, and it was because I wanted to get engaged. And at the height of the man show. And he never experienced, and I met him 3 months into Loveline is when I met him.
Oh, okay.
So he's still living in an apartment, still living, driving his crappy car and all that kind of stuff. And we were together then. And then as we went on, he got successful and he wanted to see what life was like as a single guy. And I was like, let's get married. It's been, you know, 4 years now. And even Jimmy Kimmel, his best friend, who was married at the time and had two small children, was, you know, he's a big family guy, Jimmy Kimmel. So Jimmy was telling him, like, what's going on? When are you getting married? And then Drew, his other partner, is like, what's going on? So he's in between two family guys. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like best friends with Mrs. Kimmel and Mrs. Drew. And, you know.
You're like family.
Yeah,
like,
so like let's get married. And even Jimmy's wife found the wedding ring that I still wear to this day. Actually, I'm not wearing it right now. It broke. But
I got out of a gumball machine, but that was before you made money. Yeah.
That's before you made money. And anyway, so he got pushed into it. And so we got engaged, but he wasn't ready. And then I came home from work one night. We lived together in the same house. And I remember Van Halen was playing on the KLOS.
Right, I just remember.
And I walked in and he opened I was fumbling with the lock and he opened the door for me and he just started crying and I was like, what's the matter? And he said, you know, I can't get married. He just went on a trip with Drew and he was talking to Drew about it and Drew said, you have to let her go. You can't because, you know, juggies are throwing themselves at him.
Yeah.
You know, at the
thing.
Time.
That's
a big question.
How old was he at the time?
He was like 36 or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a huge television show.
It was big at the time. And listen, he was a contractor. He didn't get famous until he was 31. And, you know, he didn't experience anything as a single guy.
So he wasn't getting laid. He wasn't getting.
Right. I mean, he was getting laid by me, but. Right.
No, before you. He hadn't
before
really been.
Before me, right. Yeah. He wasn't a ladies' man.
It's like
man.
You get on TV, it's like, pussy.
Right.
Like,
But he was not a ladies' man. He always had just one girlfriend at a time, kind of thing. So Drew said, you got to let her go, dude. You can't. You're going to. She's too, you know, you don't do this to her. And he came home from that trip with Drew and he started crying and he said, I was like on the floor, I feel like I'm going to throw up, that kind of like just coming out of your skin.
Yeah,
couldn't. I remember I went over to Jimmy's house. I couldn't sleep in the house that night and I went over to Jimmy's house and Gina was hugging and I was crying and I'll never forget Jimmy walked in and he was like, I'm sorry. He didn't know what to say. And he goes, he's just a sweetheart. He goes, I'm sorry. And then he goes, and then 2 days later, I was still on the couch crying, upset. Like, it's just, I was a mess for a long time. And I stayed at Gina and Jimmy's house for a while on their couch and with cousin Sal. And Jimmy came in one night and he goes, you're still with the crying. And he's like, listen, Lynette, he's not that great. And he's like, I'll never forget the magic words. He's not that great.
That is
like,
so funny.
All of a sudden, I snapped out.
You're like, you're right.
You know what? You're right. And then
how long, what happened? Did you start dating?
About 9 months. I got my own place. I moved in. I never lived by myself. I always had a roommate. So it was a whole new thing. Gina Kimmel helped me throughout the whole thing. She was, God bless her. And I started loving being in my own place.
Right. You're like, I was coming
home.
So
I was working at ABC Network. I was coming home after work. My friends, my girlfriends were coming over. We were doing bong loads, watching Survivor. It was great.
Like, it sounds like
it
me.
Was, no. Oh, my God. It was so much fun.
That's so fun. So but, then what did he circle back? Or did you not talk for those 9 months?
No. He always had his... He kept
stayed
in
connected.
Touch a little. Like, he would call and say, do you need one of my guys to come over and install the shelves in your room or whatever? He
that was
always
his
kept...
Way.
Yeah. And then around 9 months to a year, he started to come back around and... He'd say, on a Friday night, he would say, do you want, I'll come pick up food and come over and we'll watch Boy Meets World together. Because that's what we used to do.
Right.
And then I'm like, all right, dude, what's going on? Are we going right. to, do you want to get married? And he said, yeah, eventually I do. And then we never talked about marriage again after that for a long time. And then, like, 3 or 4 years later,
wow.
when the Man Show ended, he said, you know what? I think it's time we start planning. Well, I said, hey, what's going on? All right. You know, Man Show's right. ending, whole new world. And he said, yeah, all right, let's start planning a wedding. And it was the best thing that ever happened to us.
Because he kind of came to it on
right.
his own.
Right.
And it wasn't
he
like...
came to it on his own. Nobody pushed him into it. He went and experienced life as a single guy. He dated a model. I know he did.
Yeah,
he dated a model. And he experienced it. But he always kept in touch with me. And then... he did what he had to do, which was the best thing. But if you told a brokenhearted Lynette back in 1999
right.
that I was coming out of my skin crying. My boss would have Comedy Central on in his office, so I'd go in his office to cry, and it would be like, Man Show, Monday
oh,
night.
God. Oh, that's the worst.
Commercial. Like,
oh, man.
Anyway, so that's...
But that's amazing. But you went on and had, did you date, too, I'm assuming?
Yes, and I hated everybody I did. I wasn't into it.
I know, because you just loved him.
Well, here I am 20 years later. Okay, now I'm thinking, wow, what I should have...
What was I so excited about?
I should have taken advantage. I mean, I dated a couple. I didn't really.
You didn't like.
No.
Your heart was.
My heart was still broken.
Right.
But listen. Here's the thing. The good news is that we love each other, and we're still. I think the biggest thing. And I think we talked about this maybe when you were on my show. But the biggest thing, I think, is important is that we're attracted to each other.
That mm-hmm. is huge.
That brings everything. Because even if you're mad at the person and you're like, it's been, you know, just in this funk or whatever, there'll be a time where he walks by or she walks by and they're like, oh, let's get it on. And then you get it on and you start to feel connected again.
Exactly.
That's what
that is really important.
Sustains
because
really.
I always tell couples, if you don't, people are like, oh, I mean, we can't, you know, it's very common for couples to be like, we're not attracted to each other anymore. You know, we can't really, we're not having sex. And I'm like, well, did you have it at the beginning? And there's a lot of couples who say, no, we never did. I'm like, well, then there's nothing to get back. But
yeah,
if you have it and you maintain it and you prioritize it,
right.
you're good.
Right.
You got the attraction. Because you need the attraction.
Need it. And he's my type. He was always my type. And
what is that like type? Like
just tall, first of all. Extremely intelligent, you know, funny. All girls say that.
Right.
But,
we all say tall,
just,
funny.
Yeah. But I like that Jew. I thought he was Jewish. Okay. I'm full-blooded Italian. I thought he was Jewish. Name was Adam. He had a Jew fro. I thought he was Jewish for like a week. And he was like, no, I'm not Jew. I'm a little bit Italian. And I was like, oh, really?
Right.
I was let down. But yeah, so that's the thing. You have to be attracted. So we were attracted to each other then. You know, still attracted
that's
to each
good.
Other.
That's good. But keeping it, like, do you guys make efforts to, you know, keep
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I mean, we do. And he knows that, obviously, by working next to Drew for, you know, 12 years on Loveline. He
right.
knows what you have to do. You know, so he'll say, well, you know, if it's been a while, he'll say you want to go on date night, you know, Saturday. Night. Let's go, like, make reservations for Morton's Steakhouse or
right.
whatever, you know.
It's important.
Right.
And you have two kids. It's
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
And I never turned down a blowjob ever.
Really?
I've always, that was like my thing. I
Good.
Can't believe I'm saying this.
No, it's fine.
He's going to kill me. Yeah, I've never, yeah.
Never turned it down, meaning he offers you his penis and you never say no thanks.
No, well, yeah. If he, right.
No thanks, I'll have the steak.
I'll have the steak. Yeah, I've always, I don't know.
No, that's good. I feel the same way. I mean, I haven't been in a long-term, well,
ever.
2.5 years.
She's never even lived with a guy.
I never wanted to.
No, I'm envious. Listen, I'm envious of that.
I know. It's like I go back and forth. But it's true. I feel like we used to joke years ago about how you get married and there goes your last blowjob. You know, everyone jokes about it. And I think
You have to.
What's the big deal? You keep bringing blowjob. You have the sex. It's like, I always say, it's like going to the, I've said this so much lately, but I'm like, it's like going to the gym. Like, it's sometimes it's harder, or even the sex thing. Blowjobs, I agree, you should just do it, and guys should also go down on their partners.
Yeah, definitely.
But you should just, I mean, how long? 10 minutes? 15? I know. It's like, and it's so much better rather than the rejection of it. The rejection, and it's
bad. Yes, it's bad. It's not good for a guy. You can't. I don't know. I just feel like you can't reject.
Exactly. I totally agree. Because I was, go ahead, because I have to find another analogy.
It's not about blowjobs, but being together for
20 years. Because he hasn't had one in a long time. Oh,
please. So I have an example from like last night, and I wanted to ask you, since you've been married 20 years, and how do you deal with maybe things that your partner does that irritates you?
Yeah.
So my girlfriend is never on time. Ever. All right. Mm-hmm. So I said, we were going to this like really exclusive like Foo Fighters show last night.
Oh, wow.
And
he does cool stuff.
And I was like, yeah, we have to be there at 5:30.
Right.
And it's like 7 minutes from our house. She goes, okay. I was like, we have to be there at 5:30. And of course,
this takes is a huge issue time. In relationships.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-mm. Of course, takes her sweet time. And then we get to the venue, and I seriously, by 30 seconds, somebody was supposed to corral us to go backstage to go hang out with the band. We missed that window. Ugh. And then she goes, we missed the band. I'm like,
because you're doing your hair or whatever.
Goddamn right? Late because of you, you know?
Late is a...
And that's like always like my number one.
See, this
pet
is fixable, though.
You know? Yeah, that's fixable.
That's your number one pet peeve.
Yeah.
You have to work on it.
Well, yeah, but how do you deal with like that?
Okay, yeah. Well, I was the late one all the time, too, with him. And I think it was date number 4 where I pulled up late. And he's like, hey, listen, you got to be on time. That's enough. Like, you got to be on time. If I say be here. And with him, you know, with Loveline and radio.
It's so regimented. Yeah.
So he's like, you know, you got to be here on time. And he's like, you know what? He's right. I have to. So I made it a point. He's right. I have to be on time. So I don't know, Menace. Yeah.
Menace. I got to tell you something. This is something that I just studied with. I was saying earlier that I went to see Tony Robbins last week. I was in New York for 4 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was inspirational and cool. And I walked on fire and I decided I was going to be vulnerable and all this stuff.
That's nice.
But the second thing. I said I almost died twice. I had I had a really bad flu. But that was bad. I want to wrap up that story at the beginning. But the point is. He talked about this stuff about like limiting beliefs that you have about yourself and like what are the beliefs that you tell yourself? Like it could be like, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm never on time, I can't be on time. And how do you change those belief patterns? So I was talking to a friend of mine who she's like, I'm always late. I don't know what to do about it. And she actually read a book. There's a book, I'll get the name for you, and it's about being late. And she said, we were talking about it, and she said, there's a moment in the book, this thing that stuck with her in the book that says, you decide that you're going to be late. Like, you know that moment that you're going to be late. And she said, and she's learned, like, she's chronically, like, hour late. Like, it's a problem. Like, she went to a support group, like a 12-step.
What?
Like, no, I'm serious. This is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I realized finally, and then I brought it up to her again. And she was like, last week, she goes, oh, my God. I was about to go to my therapist. I was leaving the house. And then I realized, I sat down and I was going to start. She's like, oh, this would be a good time to start crocheting my scarf. And then she's like, wait. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go. And she's like, and I was on time. And it's like,
you make the decision. Yeah. It's a decision you have to make.
Yeah.
You have to decide. And still to this day, sometimes where we're getting the kids ready and we got to get in the car and we're going over to somebody's house for dinner that we're invited to or whatever. And Adam's like, wheels up 6:00, you know, get the kid. I have to get the kids ready and stuff like that. But I can't blame it on the kids. It's me, you know, because I'll say, well, the kids, blah blah blah. He'll say, listen, you were way, you know, before the kids, you had this problem, so you need to work. But I worked on it, and so now with kids, even you know, a couple.
How did you work on it though? Even before the kids, sounds like you changed. So.
Well, I had to make a decision because I don't want him to get mad at me. I was like, well, all right, you know, and he's right. So you make the decision, and it feels good, you know.
It does feel good once you do it. It gets into your DNA. You start like it gets into the grooves in your brain. And my brother had the same issue with his wife when they first started dating, you know, like 20 years ago, and it was the same thing. people underestimate how much time things are going to take too. So he's like, you take an hour to get ready. He would tell her, like, she's one of these, it takes a lot. He's like, so just make sure you get in the shower. And she did it. Like, she changed. Not late. So
yeah. I got to put my foot down.
You got to put your foot down. You got to be like, listen, this is really not like in a joking way, but just like, this is something that really bothers me. And this is something that's becoming an issue. And if we got it, tell me what, you know, what it, some solutions I have is maybe just realizing it could take you an hour and, you know, whatever it is, and then see what she says.
Yeah. But I want to dig in deeper, though, with somebody that's been married for 20 years.
You know? Well, like, married, like, 11, but together.
Yeah, together for 20 years. But, like, how do you deal with pet beefs with him? Do you just, like, straight up tell him, like, what?
There's times where I tell, you know, by now, we've gotten past all that. It's sort of weird how relationships are, because there was a time where I would sulk and not say anything and hold it in, and then I would blow up. And he didn't know, you know, or he would sulk and I would say, what's wrong? I would know. See, I pick up when on he's sulking. He doesn't pick up when I'm so.
Right.
He's got a little bit of Asperger.
Well, no, guys.
That's what Drew said on Howard Stern, right?
Yeah. Did he say that?
He said someone had Asperger's. I don't know if it was Adam. I think it might have been Adam.
Yeah. I think
did you hear the whole Howard Stern
thing?
Okay.
Yeah.
Drew was on Howard Stern. He was hosting the wrap-up show, and it was like, I guess it was the most popular wrap-up show they've had, and he analyzed every single person on Howard Stern, and then he heard about Adam, and I thought he said Asperger.
I'm sure he did. He said it before.
Bean from Kevin and Bean, they say that it has it.
Yeah. They don't pick up on emotional cues.
Yeah, yeah.
Which can be hard as a woman.
It's very
hard.
When we
have a lot of emotional cues.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, very hard. And then when you start seeing it with the kids and stuff, he doesn't pick up on.
I think it's a man thing, though, too. Like, well, with women, we don't pick up the signs at all. We've talked about this a million times, how we don't even know if a girl even likes us or not.
I know.
That's right. We don't know if they're into
us. Men gotta, you know, they gotta.
Yeah, but for men, as pet peeves, just you gotta don't hold it in. You gotta get it out, and then after a while, they start knowing each other. You start knowing what to do. Like, I know this is happening. He doesn't like it. I gotta fix it.
Right.
And then he vice versa. You know, he'll come and kiss me goodnight. I don't know. Be a little more loving.
Whatever it is, if you're like, I want to kiss goodnight.
Right.
And he'll like, whatever. Listen.
Yeah.
And you start making. And I think that men is maybe it'd be good for you to start communicating these things like in a direct way with her.
I do too. Like when I.
But you probably make it seem like whatever. You probably make her feel bad about it more than you do say, hey, listen, this is really something that's bothering
you. Oh, because you know what I do,
dude. I know you better than anyone.
No, I'm just. When I notice that she's upset, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. I tried to
fix it.
No, defuse it right away. Like, I can tell that she's mad, and then I'll just start messing with
her. You're like, YSL bag? What do you do?
I'll say, like...
Oh, look, there's Dave Grohl.
Yeah. I'll just keep on looking at her while I know she's, like, really upset, and I'll say, why are you laughing so much? Why are you laughing? And then, like, seriously, within a minute, she'll
just start
laughing.
That just means that you made her laugh, but it doesn't mean that you talked about the issue.
Yeah, yeah. Then we talk it out.
Okay. We got some work to do on you. But first, we have a few words here.
Jeez.
From our sponsors.
Okay,
here,
fine.
Ooh, I love the sponsors.
Well, you're going to... Okay, Lynette.
Yes. Tell me.
This is candles. The Emily and Tony candles. I gave you a candle. What did you think about it?
Super sexy, super lovely. I mean, unbelievable.
Because
but the oil afterwards, how you can massage it, it's not hot and messy or any of that. It's so luxurious. It's amazing. I don't know how. What did you do? Go into a. What are you, scientists?
France? No.
What'd you do?
We hired scientists. It's
wow. It's unbelievable. They're beautiful. I mean, they look so classy.
Yeah.
And they smell so good. And I want more. You gave me a gift bag. No,
I brought you such a gift bag today. Like, you're gonna flip.
I'm so excited.
I'm glad you liked them. I brought you some more.
Thank you. They are
Emily and Tony. They are coconut oil and soybean oil. They're all vegan except for the beeswax part. And they do make other massage candles, but they were always messy and they weren't as moisturizing. But this is like my skin.
Right.
I put it on at night. It's amazing and moisturizing, and it's just a regular, beautiful candle, like you said, but then it turns into luxurious oil,
and you
can use it as a massage, and it's spiced up. Well, when you told me you used it, I had to bring you some.
Thank you.
And, you pour it out, you give her a massage. Menis probably hasn't used it because he doesn't touch us.
Menis.
He doesn't get massages, does he?
See, she beats me up, and she says I'm the mean one.
You don't even need to do, like, a whole massage.
No.
You just pour a little bit.
I massage myself.
Onto his arm and massage. Yeah.
hands, when they get feet.
And you start, and then that gets things heated up, stuff like that.
Yeah. And it does smell really good.
Really good.
I love it. You let me know when you need more.
Adam loved it.
So go to, good, I got more. EmilyandTony.com. And anytime when you go there, you can use Sex with Emily, code Sex with Emily for 20% off your first order. However, from now until March 29th, 2015, you get a free Down Under Comfort when you purchase any full-size candle with the code OFFLINE. It's the perfect pairing because you tried the Down Under too.
I love that. That's in my gym bag. I put it underneath my boobies.
I brought you some more of that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, because I do need that.
I know. I got it. And then
guys should always
we're back.
Yeah.
With this. So what were we talking about? So Madison needs to work on communication. I'd like you to come back next week having resolved one issue with her.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your assignment.
My thing is the late thing too, because my dad was always late too, which annoyed me.
No, people, this is like very common. I mean, this is something you can work on though. Do you want me to find out the name of the late book? Would she read it?
Yes, I would like it because I could use it.
I know.
I need, yeah.
I'm late too, a little bit. Not too bad, but.
I mean, I got late here today, but.
But it had nothing to do with her lateness. Yeah. This is really late.
Like your husband and I are in similar industries, but I mean, like he's like on a way, way higher level, but it's like. Yeah, you have to be there on time at this time.
You can't. Like the radio goes on. Like, I get it. Yeah.
That's all.
And then another thing I want to say real quick that I skipped over at the beginning was that you can vote for us until April 23rd for the Podcast Awards.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're nominated.
I know. In the mature category, you go to podcastawards.com and you can vote every day.
And you're hosting.
I'm hosting with Dennis Miller.
That's amazing.
I know. I've got no information. I'm like, are we just going to show up and get on stage together? Like, there's nothing.
Dennis is great. He's a pro.
Am I a pro?
You're a pro, too. You guys are going to be great together.
It'll be fun. And then we're doing a live show.
We are. We're
going to Lynette and I are going on the road.
Yeah.
To Hollywood Boulevard.
No way.
May 12th. We just booked it. May 12th. We're doing a live. Well, she's doing For Crying Out Loud, her podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be a guest on it. I'm so honored. It's May 12th, Tuesday. Tin Horn Flats, Hollywood.
Yes, in the middle of the heart.
Yeah, in the heart of Hollywood. It's on Highland. And I'll be giving more information in coming weeks because I got till May 12th. But you got to come.
Yeah,
live. Have a good time.
I live down the street, so.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I never see you. That's cool. You'll come for that. Okay, but I had some stuff that I wanted to talk to. There's a study that came out. Mm-hmm. 10 science-proven facts about married sex. And I thought, and since you're in a long-term relationship, I thought we could talk about some of these.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, and this is actually, a lot of these studies are kind of BS, but this is Kinsey from the Indiana University, which they do all the top sex studies from there, so I actually give it a little bit of credibility, more credibility than most. Mm-hmm. So number one is the grass is not greener on the single side. Mm-hmm. So how many times on TV or in movies have we seen a married guy shamed by the bachelor buddy for settling down when he could be playing the field?
Yeah.
We talked about. The fact is that married people have more sex than single folks, they say. In the research, they confirmed this, finding that 61% of singles reported that they haven't had sex within the past year, compared with 18% of married people.
Well, it depends on who's the single person is, right?
You might have caught him in like an off month or something.
I mean, I don't think that's the case for you, Emily, right?
No, I mean, I call it up.
Yeah, but
I can
it's going to come off sexist, but a woman can get
for warning.
A woman can get laid anytime that they want. They can walk outside if they really wanted to.
Yeah.
But a guy can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
No way.
You just gotta have more confidence. You gotta be nicer to women when you meet them.
No,
if you wanted to, just like a girl,
right?
But you would have to really work at it to make it happen. Like a woman, honestly, just steps outside and says, "Hi, I'm here. I would like to have sex."
Yeah,
and you'll have.
Yeah, that's true. But you'll have people, with Tinder and everything speeding it all up. You can get my friend.
Oh my God, I cannot. I'm meeting my girlfriend. She's a single mom. She's
okay.
She's a single divorced mom, full time, works full time. She can't meet anybody, it's so hard. But she'll put in, that she's all the criteria she is looking for, and it's like she'll say, "Look, Lynette, this is what I have to choose from." And you could tell by the pictures that they're
the
not
doofus.
Not
they're like, "Hey, beautiful,
not gonna work." But I just met this woman that showed me her Tinder profile, and it's like sexy pictures of her. She's a nurse. She's a nurse, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't look like that when I see her. But these pictures are artsy, sexy. And I'm thinking, now my girlfriend who's single, I'm like, Luz, you got to get your... She's going to get some pictures.
No, you should. There's like a certain... Like,
I'm dying to be on Tinder. I would love to be on Tinder.
Someone just did... Oh, Mike Catherwood was saying that he did a fake profile.
He did?
Yeah. You could talk about it on your show. It'd be funny.
It'd be fun. Yeah. I think it's fun. Yeah. I mean,
I did it. I just can't log in now because of something happened with my whatever. But I was doing it for a while. I had a blind Tinder date on my show a few months ago. But
What about Hinge? Have you heard about Hinge?
Yes. Hinge is supposed to be great because Hinge is a dating app that connects you just through Facebook friends only. Mm-hmm. So you have to have a mutual friend. Mm-hmm. And then Coffee Meets Bagel, which we've been talking about for a while, but it's now, I feel like more and more people are using that as well. It started in San Francisco a few years ago. I talked to the founder, and you're supposed to make a...
Emily's so connected. She's like in that like Silicon Valley.
Funny.
Venture capitalists.
Seriously.
Yeah. My friends always joke in the office, or my team always jokes. They're like, how do you know? I'm like, well, the founder. Because it's San Francisco. No one was entertainment.
No one gave a shit.
What, radio? We were on the Bravo show. No one has TV.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Right.
Unless you're at like a .com.
They're like, I'm so sorry, you're in TV. I don't have TV. I'm like, oh, it's cool. But you move here. It's like, what? You did what? Coffee Meets Bagel, I think it's like they set you up with pretty good. My friends, it's a little higher caliber. I had a conversation with my friend in San Francisco today because she's been on everything. And she just said you set up for a lunch or something, or maybe it's a group. I'm going to butcher this, but it's a site that's been around for a few years. But apparently, it's since two people have told me about it in 2 days, I feel like it's taking off. Again.
Now there's this other one. That's out of San Francisco, where the guy has to make like $250,000 to even
be on.
That's
just living in San Francisco, right?
Wow.
Well, you have to, in San Francisco now, you have to make $142,000 to buy a house.
Yeah.
Wow. To even think about buying a house.
San Francisco is, it's beautiful, though. Adam and I love to go there.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we have a romantic getaway.
That's a great place to go. Go to Sonoma, Napa.
Yeah.
That's where I met
the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Met your husband for the first time at the Starlight Lounge.
I was there, too. Yeah. That's where I met him. He was, because it was CBS, it was CFM, and they were bringing in Adam. He was the big name,
It was so funny. They set him up like it was like a... like a prom photo shoot.
He didn't say hi to me. I was too little.
I'm sure he looked down and didn't say hi to anybody.
He just walked him in, then stood him in front of this background that looked like a bad, like 80s background, and like made everyone line up and take a photo with him.
See,
but he was very nice when I talked to him.
Adam was very shy in front of people. Not shy, but it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's a little uncomfortable.
No, I get it.
You got to meet, like sit and talk, like how we are, like in a room.
Totally. We'll have him on. We'll talk about, what you said, everything. About your sex life.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll play them clips.
It says, the next one is, on average, married couples while having sex, how frequently? People always want to know this question, like, what are the right number? I mean, I never want to say there's anything that's normal, like you should have it. It's whatever feels
right for
you.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, Emily. What do you think?
I mean, I think that couples who have more sex more frequently, and this study says too, are happier. Like, if it's once a month, it's probably not enough.
Right.
And they've even said, if you both agree to it, but then if you're both agreeing to once a month, then you're not connected. You need that intimacy. The intimacy is the glue that keeps you together.
So true.
And from being roommates, which I always say. And so this study says... the majority of married couples are having sex a few times per month or once a week. And past research corroborates this. Hitch couples had sex 66 times a year or a little more than once a week. So it says that and single people are having a lot less. But I'm wondering, because I was thinking the single, maybe they're talking to singles. Because if they were talking to singles and singles are like, we have a lot less sex.
Right.
Singles have it like once every few months. It could have just been in that month, because when you're single and then you meet someone new, then you have sex 8 times a day.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I'm not sure, but that I believe all this.
Listen, I'm jealous of the single life right now.
I know, it is the grass is always greener.
It's so true. But it's interesting. Like, I want my girlfriend to get hooked up.
I want to meet her. Yeah. You should all go out. Yes. I want to meet. I need more single women here.
Yeah. Okay.
I do. Like this is my year of not working as much either. Like having a social life.
Yeah.
Getting
out there. I mean, I do it, but not enough. But
and you're going to stop dating people that you're not interested
in. No, I like this guy now that I'm dating.
Okay.
Who can I?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I mean, he is a guy that I've been dating casually for 6 months around, and it's been...
Wow, that's a long-term relationship for her.
Wow.
It's been so casual.
How is casual? What does that mean? Like, you hear from
him? It means we're not... Yeah, we're not like committed.
Right.
Seeing other people. Mm-hmm. And
but like there's times where you don't hear from him for a while.
Yeah, and then it got a little weird because you can only do that for so we were friends first.
Right.
And I actually met him looking for apartments when I moved here. Mm-hmm. He was just moving from San Francisco as well. So that was like our connection, like San Francisco. And then we just became friends. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we slept together. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I realized it was very casual. And it was the point where it wasn't as consistent. And then I was like feeling like, and I'm so not the girl, like I've never had the talk. I've never been.
Right.
But then I felt like this doesn't even, I actually liked it better when we were friends because we were more open. And now it's like, I know you have a date. That's fine. Just tell me because I'm the kind of person like, let's talk about it. Let's be open. And it wasn't as much. But now,
it's weird.
But did he not want? Did he want to date you more, or did you? I mean,
no. See, this is the thing. We never talked about it because I didn't.
That's the.
But now we did,
right?
And then we thought, okay. I mean, it's not. We decided that we're just gonna, you know, see what happens. It's evolved more to the sense.
Wait, are you guys going steady now, or what?
What's the deal? We're going steady. No, not exactly. But we're more communicative about what we want, and if we are seeing, because it was kind of like this elusive. Mm. But the point is, what happened here, and this is what I told him, is like I had to be the one that to bring up the talk, which I've never done. And it was more of the talk. I'm like, this is the talk, but without like what I know how it's going to end. It's just that, or how I don't have a foredrawn conclusion to this. It's just that you can be like friends with benefits. You can be anything for a while, but all relationships have to move. Like they have to move and to evolve.
Right.
Otherwise, it just gets boring. Your friendships evolve. Menace and I have evolved.
True.
Like an old married couple.
Yeah.
Like, you know, girlfriends. Yeah. You're like, oh, we get closer and closer. Right. That's what's so exciting. But if it's just, we're going to hook up every few weeks, we're not, it gets kind of, you know, it's like Woody Allen said, like, you know, relationships have to keep moving or they're, you know, what do you say? Like they're a shark, a dead shark. Wait, oh, he said.
What did he say?
He said, relationships are like a shark. You have to keep moving. And he said, and what we have on our hands as a dead shark when he was it was in Annie Hall. Anyway.
All right. You're still talking like a politician. What was the end result?
The end result
of the
was that we really like each other and that you know what?
You're gonna stay how you are.
No, we're not. We're gonna we're gonna talk more about what we're figuring out.
They're communicating more. They're communicating.
We're communicating more.
Right.
And we weren't communicating because we were just like playing it cool and I'm really busy and I was dating other people and he is too. And that still could happen. But I said we can't keep doing the same thing. I would like to at least talk about the fact like am I dating? Like, are we going to make plans? And then we should just make a plan.
Right, right.
I can't, don't, why'd you ask me about this? I know, I'm kidding. It's fine. The point is, it's evolving and I like him and that's all. That was, can we just cut that?
Yeah,
I mean, what the hell? I'm never going to cut anything. Okay, so let's keep going.
Running for Senate later.
Dude.
Hey, Emily, does talking about married, I probably know the answer.
No, I like
talking about married life bore you?
No, I love.
Okay,
dude, this is what I do for a living, and it's so funny because I'm fascinated by. I feel like I help.
I'm fascinated
a lot
by
of people
single life.
Well, we're swap stories, but I think it's fascinating, and I love helping people. You know, it's funny because you're like, how can you help? What do you know? Like? Listen to me tell my like half whatever story, but I find it fascinating, and I think that I could help a lot of people because, and I'm just interested in how people make it work because I actually started this podcast because I was really cynical about relationship. I mean, coming from a family of divorce and all that stuff, I just thought four divorces. I thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. And I want to understand what makes relationships work and what doesn't. So when it started as a podcast, it was just me interviewing married.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by it.
I'm fascinated by it too.
And I think there is a science to it. There is a, you know, it does all come down to communication and sex. If you stop having sex, people are like, oh, it's okay because, you know, we'll get to that after the kids go to college.
No.
We'll get to, you got to keep it going. You
got to
give the blowjobs.
Yeah.
You got to have the chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to work on it.
Yeah.
So, okay, the next one was sex is pretty discreetly correlated to satisfaction in marriage. So men and women, it says, for instance, one study of Australia note that men and women who were dissatisfied with their frequency of sex were also more likely to express overall lower sexual relationship and satisfaction, which makes sense. If you're having less sex, you're not as happy.
Right.
And I agree, sex is the glue. And it's like we worry about so many other things like building the deck or where to go on summer vacation. But the second, if you realize that you're not addressing it, it's not going to go away, the sex thing. Like it's like people think, oh, it'll heal itself after the laundry.
It's like going to the gym. You know, you sit there and you become middle-aged and you look at your body and you start going, well, what, you know, I'm getting overweight or whatever. So you got to go to the gym. You got to work out or whatever.
You got to maintain.
You got to maintain. But after you do it, it feels good. So it's like you kind of realize like, okay, it's been a while. Let's have sex. And then after you do it, like, we should do that more often, you know, and it feels good. And then, you know, then you go into this thing where you do it for a little while and then you start, you know, he's busy, he's gone, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, I mean, but you're right. It is the glue. It really
once it goes, because I'm sure when you had kids too, it was probably hard to get it, keep it going. But
yeah, I mean, with twin
boys.
Yeah. Boy and girl.
Boy and girl. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought they were boys. Twin boys.
Because she's like a boy. That's why.
Is she? Oh my God. I mean, you got your hands full.
Right.
Yeah.
But I always say that it is like going to the gym. And then today I was like, I always say that. So what's another analogy? I was thinking about a lot of times people ask me to do things, you know, go out to a concert or meet for dinner. Mm. And my first reaction is always like, usually it's like, no, can I get out of it? Like, I don't like making, I have commitment all around issues. Uh-huh. But then I thought, I've never regretted any, like, I don't have a lot of regrets, but very rarely have I been like on the fence about something and then I went and I was like, that sucked. I shouldn't have gone out with those people or gone to that concert or gone to the gym or had sex.
Right.
You're not like, why did I freaking have sex?
Right.
So I just feel like when you're thinking that in your head, like, just say yes. Say yes to the blowjob. Say yes to the sex.
It's all a decision. It boils down to decision.
In the moment by moment, mm-hmm. making decisions mm-hmm. that are healthier for your relationship.
Right.
Yeah. Can I go back real quick? Because you kept on saying, I'm fascinated by the single life.
Yes.
Now, is it just because... Is it kind of like if you're watching Sex in the City and you just want to see all the juicy stories
you want
to hear about it?
No, I'll tell you what. My best friend, well, two of my best, the closest girls to me are both single. Mm-hmm. One is, she lives in Malibu and she's happy to be single, but she's gorgeous and she has, I think she has a little bit of intimacy issues and she has a wall, but she doesn't meet anybody though. That's the problem. Like she doesn't, she's in isolation. Yeah. And so it's hard for her.
Would she be like lonely?
She doesn't get lonely at all.
That's crazy.
I know that's and she's very close to me and my kids. She loves my kids. So thank God for her. And then my other girlfriend I grew up with and you know, I saw her get married. I saw her have the kid. They had the kid at 18 months. They got a divorce. He wanted the divorce. She didn't. Mm. And he moved on and got, you know, into another relationship quick. And she had, like, you know, 5 years of trying to deal with, oh, my God, what, you know, my whole life has changed. All she wanted to do was be a wife her whole life. Like, I just want to be a mom and a wife. And she's completely changed. Now she's worked on herself. She went to therapy. She goes to the gym and all that kind of stuff. Her hair is brighter blonde. She lost weight. She looks great. And now she's like completely a different person. Like she's like, let's go. Like, you know, I want to go meet people. And I'm with her. Like, I'm excited for her. Like, I want her to meet. And we went to New York and we had a blast. And we sat. It was so impromptu. It was one of these things that happened like, oh, my God, these people, we went to the Howard Stern studios, dropped off Mangria. Okay.
Mangria? Wait, we didn't even talk about that yet.
No, that's fine. Okay. And we dropped it off for the Stern family. And then we asked them, where should we go for happy hour? They said, downstairs is Del Fresco. You should go to the restaurant. We went there. We sat there from 4:30, 5 o'clock on a New York rainy day until midnight.
Wow.
And we watched guys come and go, and we people watched. And she sat across from me, and literally there was a group of guys that were talking. There was about five of them in the group. And I said, Suzanne, I turn around and look at these guys. And she turned, and we not one ugly
They're
guy.
Such, they were such good-looking men in suits.
Maybe it's the suit.
I love the
suit. It is the suit. It does.
Just go buy a suit, guys.
Guys need suits. Go buy a black suit. And so they're all standing there. And then she's like, do they have wedding rings on? And I'm like, well, two of them don't. No, two of them don't. And then the two that didn't, you know, then what do you do at that point? She's like, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, just go talk to them. And then, so I don't know. I'm like, should I go talk to them? And we didn't. We just sat there and watched. And we watched guys come and go. And in New York, guys are so different because they seem more genuine. I think that everybody goes to New York because they want to work in the finance industry or, you know, and they want to build a family. They want a family. And people that come here, guys that come here, are Peter Pans. They don't want that.
It's so true.
They're the opposite. They want to be a model or whatever.
An actor.
An actor or an executive. I mean, you know, at a network, it's or an agent. It's like, come on, it's so true. Superficial and blah. And guys in New York, they're just normal. Like guys,
and they ask you out in New York too.
They approach you. Direct.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have guys.
So, did she meet a guy?
She met a guy. Yeah, she did. She met a guy, and she just had fun. Like she was just talking with him, and she talked to him. Like I got tired at midnight, and I left, right. And she stayed, and my other girlfriend was there too, and she.
I
just
wanted to go. On I know, girl's right? Trip. Next time I'm going on the girls' trip, I always my
Emily
jaw drops.
Walked the right over to start talking to the guys.
No, I just stopped talking.
But so back to you, Menace, to your question is that's I'm fascinated. I love, like, because I haven't been single in a long time, but I can live vicariously through my girlfriends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what excites you.
Yeah,
it's the story.
Yeah, totally. My friends do that, too. I'd be like, how's your marriage? They're like, tell me about you. And I'm boring.
Yeah.
But I love hearing about what's, because I want to, like, help or listen or anything.
Right,
so
right. But I want to hear about you because you're having fun.
Yeah, I am having fun. And I just told a really bad story about my guy, but because it's evolving in a way that I can't articulate.
Ask her about some of her old stories.
Emily, I'm fascinated by how successful that you are and how busy you are, but yet you date so much and you meet so many guys and you have...
I do?
Well, it
you
do.
I guess I get asked out here.
It seems like
you
do, And you guys, and you have a lot of sex, it seems like. I don't
do.
Know. You do. And it's like, I love, like, who do we know that's open about that? Like, totally open, beautiful girl, successful, hey, here I am. I have a lot of sex.
Yeah, I have a lot of sex and a lot of sex toys.
And a lot of sex toys.
I think
fascinating.
I think she's very outgoing and very approachable.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is, too, so guys feel comfortable to ask her out. I mean, I find it exhausting and draining being around her more than 5 hours. But I think that's why I think a lot of,
so we never
she's not off-putting.
Right.
You know, like,
I'm chill.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes.
Where you can find, as a man, you can find a lot of women that off-putting, they seem like they're not even interested to even be around. Anybody,
well, that's what I'm trying to train my girlfriend, Suzanne, to not look. She's not off-putting, but she's shy.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, don't look like you're, stuck up or whatever,
It's practice. So this
is like, what do you want me to do? Well, what do I do? Relax? What do I? I'm like, just relax.
It's so funny because I was just talking to I feel like all my friends are single now, but she was saying the same thing. She goes, I think that guys think, and she's beautiful, smart. Mm. She said, I think guys think I'm stuck up, and I think guys are intimidated, and she's the sweetest. I said, you know what you got to do? She goes, but I tried it. She told me this. She said, I went into Starbucks, and I smiled at some guy, and I just smiled, and then he came over, and he was like, you have really nice legs, and she's like, I wasn't into him, but I realized that I'm so lost. She does have nice legs.
That's great.
But that I said to her, that's what you got to practice. I'm like, I want you to 5 times a day, like when you walk into a public, put your phone down, smile, because men probably think you're not approachable because you're hot, and you're like, probably have a rushing, and you're on your phone.
Right, right.
So I think the phones are also a barrier.
That's another thing.
Yeah,
no, don't sit there and look at your phone.
Just say, hi,
right.
Smile, and that's, and I actually, one of my things that I truly, and I've been this way since I was a kid, I love meeting people. Like, I can go into a room where, my favorite thing is going to a party where I know nobody, or a room by myself.
It's interesting.
I know, because I just truly, like, who are you? Who's your story? There's no one around me there. I'm like, oh, have you met my boyfriend? He really doesn't talk to people. I got to worry where he is. No, it's me alone.
Right,
I can do whatever. And I just, I love just story people. I love connecting. It's like, it gives me juice.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think I've always liked that, but a lot of people aren't, and that's just, people got to work on it.
Right.
Put down the phone. Yeah. Smile.
Yes, put down the phone and smile.
Put down the phone and goddamn smile.
And guys, I mean, what city does she live in? Is it San Francisco?
She lives in L.A.
Oh, L.A., okay.
Ugh, the poor single girls in L.A.
I
feel bad for my single friends in L.A. Yeah. I really do.
Well,
I'm like, go to Chicago and meet somebody.
No, he loves Chicago.
I love Chicago. Well, I always tell my buddies also who live here on the coast, like, they have problems also with meeting women. I'm like, dude, travel to, like, the Midwest or something like that. You're not going to have any problems because the women there are so approachable and nice, and they're, like, genuine.
Well, that's how we feel about the guys.
Exactly.
That's how us girls feel about guys in the Midwest. Like, I told her, I said, go to Chicago. I have family. Go see my sister.
Are you from Chicago?
No. Oh,
but
no.
It's amazing if you're, I mean, visiting.
From fucking L.A., sorry.
I
was born in Cleveland, but my family moved here when I was 7 years old, so I grew up here.
Midwestern guys are nice, but I get bored.
To meet people, just friends at least.
Yeah. What do you think, Emily? I mean, what?
I think that as far as dating or
like,
Midwest,
as far as like where, city has great guys?
It's so hard because every town that people live in, they say it's the worst town to date in. Like, New York's like, oh, every guy's just like, you know, working for his career, and women are always chasing the bigger, better deal. They say LA, every guy's chasing the bigger, better deal. San Francisco, no one asks you out ever. I'm like, the guys are checked their balls at the Golden Gate. Yeah. I'm like, really? Like,
super shy.
Yeah. And so I don't, what is the best? I honestly believe that wherever you go, there you are. Mm-hmm. And that you can find someone wherever you're at. I don't care if you're like in Des Moines. I mean, I'm from Michigan. People find love, and you just got to put yourself out there. And it's so easy to blame it on the city. But what are you doing lately to meet someone new? If you're doing the same thing every day and you're not changing up your mood, your pattern, doing something different and putting yourself out there where you might be a little nervous to go to a party that you don't have a date for, but you got invited, go.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to die.
You sound like my husband. Adam says the same
thing.
Does
he?
Yeah. Adam says, these people that say, I can't meet anybody. It's like, no, you can.
There's
go.
Billions of people. And you're going to find somebody, right?
Yeah. You really got to put effort into it.
You do. And so I'll talk to your sister. We'll all have drinks.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
For sure.
I really
come
enjoy
that. Well, you can join us. We're going in Burbank. After this, but I would. Burbank. But
Burbank's awesome.
We have to get together with my.
No, we are. We're going to do that thing, and we're going to do our live show. And then I was going to ask you. I had some sex questions for you, but you
go ahead. No,
I want to know first of all, how's it going? We talked about the G spot on your show because I brought you a special toy too. Yeah.
Yes, my whole life I've heard about it, but I'm always the girl that has the orgasm. You know,
clearly,
right?
That's good.
So
at least you can have that. A lot of women can't.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Really?
But during intercourse, you can. And
yeah,
that's hard. Okay.
But I need help. Yeah, it's
right.
Yeah, it needs to be stimulated.
Right. Of course.
Right. Okay. So, but the G spot. I'm like, I don't know. Do okay. I
brought you such a goodie bag here.
Okay.
I brought you.
She did. Yay. No, wait, look. Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, the other thing she's going to freak. Yeah. But this is the Jeju, so this is my favorite
brand. I've heard you talk about this.
Okay, so this is, I talked about the Mimi, which is the clitoral one, which if you like that, this is the Uma, and this is like all about G-spot. It moves. It's
oh, my God, I'm
and
so
it's
excited.
Rechargeable, and it's beautiful. Oh, like, you're just going to live
is.
For it.
It looks beautiful. Thank you.
And then I got some other stuff that we'll go through.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Show and then you got
awesome.
About the G-spot.
Show the really cool
okay.
thing, though.
That's awesome.
I'm very excited to give you this.
This is pretty awesome.
Okay, so do you know about my
vibe? Oh, my God. God, of course. I hear about it all the time. No
so
way.
I got you one.
Oh, my God. Thank
the
you.
Crave.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I have the Crave.
The Crave Vesper. And it's, I mean, look at it. It's
love
like.
Love it. I know. I hear you talk about it all the time. I went on your website and looked at it. I've been wanting to buy it.
I know. I was talking to you yesterday. Crave. I'm like, okay, so wait. No, tell me what kind of vibrator. Because I already got something else you're going to love. But I need to know.
I love it.
I know. I'll show you how it works. It's
oh
really cool.
God.
It's already charged, too.
Really?
Yeah.
The
Crave Vesper.
Oh
so check it. Check
you're
it. I hope you. I know.
Well, I'm going to have a fun
wow.
ride home
some other,
sitting in traffic.
What did you want? Did you want one?
It's like Christmas here or something.
I know. Totally. I know.
Okay, we got to wrap it up.
I know.
Like, this is awesome.
Time flew by. It was
I know.
So awesome.
I'm so
it
glad
could talk
you're here.
Forever. I know.
You can come back on.
I would love to.
And then we're going
to
do our live show. So, and I have to give all of your info, which is adamcarolla.com to listen to it, which is CAROLLA.
Yes. Thank you.
And then Lynette Carolla, at Lynette Carolla on Twitter.
Yeah. Instagram, Twitter. It's all Lynette Carolla.
Facebook.com/Lynette Carolla.
Yeah.
Instagram. And we'll have this all on our site as well.
Thank you.
And For Crying Out Loud is your podcast.
Yeah.
Check it. It's a really friggin' hilarious, funny podcast. It's popular.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
Yeah, on that.
Thank you. Thank
and Mangria.
Mangria. Yes.
Wait, I've never had it. I just hear Adam
here,
talking.
I have it for you.
I've been hearing about it for a while.
For years.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like,
but we should have poured some.
I know.
But, yeah, I have. Here's the white. Here's the red.
What makes it a cocktail and not white wine?
You know, I'm telling you, it's really strong. It's
that's all
it's
we need to know.
19 proof. What do you call it?
Wow.
Yeah. And
oh my God.
It's not. It will. You have like one. You pour it over ice. It's ready to pour. Pour it over ice, and one drink just melts. When I come home, like after a day of like stress, have a glass of that, and all your stress just melts after one glass.
I need a stress melter.
Where is it available?
It's available at BevMo. A lot of our retails.
It's doing well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's all
just go
over.
To Mangria. Yeah, go to
nice.
Mangria.com, CarollaDrinks.com, and click in your area. You'll find it. Yeah, it's
I'd
everywhere.
Like to pour that over something right now and drink it.
Oh,
something
it's
cool.
So,
so for our next
so,
show, and then we'll do our drunk show, which we just talked about.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Lynette, thank you.
Oh,
so
my God, I'm
like, so glad.
Thank
awesome.
You so much, Menace. Nice to
oh,
meet
yeah,
you.
Nice
I know. Menace is better than she thought in her brain. And, okay, I have a few announcements I do that I'm trying to, like, I know I do a lot of them at the beginning, so now I'm moving up to the end. You guys, okay. You like that? You happy? Okay. We need interns. We love our interns. It's a really, I'm just going to say, it's a good gig. You get sex toys. You get a lot of sex information. We have a good time. So email us, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Send me your resume and a cover letter why you want the job. Seasoned sex and relationship writers needed. Please email us again, feedback. Because at Sex with Emily, because we'll promote your stuff and we'd love to hear from you. And newsletter, sign up for our newsletter. If you like our show,
I love your newsletter.
Thank you. I always get
excited when I see it. I know I seem like a kiss ass or whatever. No, but it's true. It's like, you know,
it's like not like a bullshit. Like
I get your newsletter. It pops up in my inbox. I'm like, ooh. And then I can't look like my daughter sitting next to me. I'm like, get away from me. I'm trying because the pictures are so beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. Letter, okay. Yeah. So sign up for a goddamn newsletter.
Yeah.
And review us on iTunes. If you like us, if you don't like us, you know, you don't have to, but no, you can do whatever you want. Thank you, Menace. Menace, you are Instagram, Twitter, MENACE across the board.
That's it.
Thank you, Madison. Produce the show. Love you. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, everyone, Fleshlight. It's time for your Fleshlight story because it's the number one sex toy for men, which is perfect because it's really the only one that you want. Wouldn't it be amazing if you could actually feel the pleasure of having sex anytime, anywhere, and you don't have a partner? The Fleshlight simulates the sensations of real sex. It's like a male masturbation sleeve. So you guys have your hand. I have 18 million toys, and it's kind of, you know, you want to mix it up and try something new. So try the Fleshlight. It was engineered to look and feel like the real deal, you know, kind of like a vagina or a butt, whatever you're into. It's cool. If you have porn stars that you like, she probably has her vagina molded. So go to Fleshlight.com, use code Emily, and they have an award-winning Flesh lube, and they will throw that in because you like to use a little lube. Believe me, you want – it's like having the Mangria without the ice. I mean, really, you got to get the lube into the Fleshlight, and it'll rock your world. So check it out, Fleshlight.com, or go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, and use code Emily and get your lube. Thanks for listening.